11, canto Bhagavatam, chapter 2, text 38. Avidyamanopi avabhatihi dvayo dhyatudiya swapna manodato yata tatkarma sankalpa vikalpam vikalpakam mano buddho nirandyat abhayam tatasyat. Another translation: although the duality of the material world does not ultimately exist, conditional experiences it as real under the influence of his own conditional intelligence. So duality, this material world, is just passive. It's just Krishna's energy. There's no duality here. Duality is based on the human perception of duality. That's why it says Brahman Satyam Jagan Mithya. In the Shankara's philosophy, Advaitin philosophy, they say Brahman Satyam Jagan Mithya. Everything in Brahman is real, Satya is truth, and everything else is mithya or false. Brahman Satya Jagan Mithya. So we also say that. We say this jagat, this material world, is false. They say it's false, it's unreal. We say it's real, but it's temporary. So it does exist. This is Krishna's Bahiranga Shakti. But the duality aspect, the duality is simply our perception. Because ultimately everything is Brahman. Sarvakalvidam Brahma. The Vedanta Sutra says, Sarvakalvidam Brahma. Everything, sarvam, kalvidam, everything is Brahman. So Krishna is in every single atom of this creation. Every single atom has consciousness. Consciousness is the background of everything. Nothing can exist without consciousness, because Krishna is the original conscious entity. And what expands from him is all his energies, and all his energies are conscious. The material energy is conscious, the spiritual energy. Ultimately everything is conscious, consciousness. But the material energy is posing as if it's unconscious. It's a posture. That's why I said it's passive. Material energy is passive. It's not directly engaged in Krishna's service. It's passive. But it's not that it's just consciousness. It's just energy and consciousness. Brahman. Where's the duality? There's no duality. But the human being, when he's in conditional, when he's conditioned soul, then he sees, oh, this is good for me, this is bad for me, because his identity is misplaced. His identity is covered over by avidya, by ignorance. So he thinks, I am this body, and this world is separate from my body. And this duality is all created by the conditioned soul. That's why when one becomes a yogi, then he sees Brahman everywhere. Brahmeti, paramatmeti, bhagavanti, shabite. First he realizes that all-pervading consciousness, that everywhere is consciousness. It's all one. Right? But then, as in a higher yogi, he can see, yes, it's one, consciousness is everywhere, but it's personal, paramatma realization. And then you can say consciousness is everywhere and it's personal, but ultimately the original consciousness is also a person, a supreme person, the Bhagavan. And he has rasa and his own planet and all kinds of individuality there. So this duality is just a product of ignorance. It's due to ignorance that the living entity sees, oh, this is good, this is bad. There's nothing as said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, also where Chaitanya said, conceptions of good or bad are all, they're all incorrect. There's nothing good, there's nothing bad. It's just passive. It's just like a table. Is a table good or bad? Like a hammer. Is a hammer good or bad? Hammer is good if you use it to build a house. It's bad if you hit your brother in the head with it. That's a bad use of the hammer. Or a bad use of, or a good use of the hammer. But the hammer is passive, it's only energy. There's no duality in the hammer. But you create duality by your own viewpoint. The object itself has no. What is the duality in the object? What is the object is a piece or a particle of this material energy, material world. Whether it's one hammer or whether it's everything in it, around you. One hammer is a piece of material energy, is it right? Or every building, every street, every planet, every country, it's all material energy. So where's the duality? Well, the wind, it's very bad wind. This wind blew down my baby, and my baby was standing on the roof and the wind blew him off the roof. It's a very bad wind. No, it's not a bad wind. That's how you're perceiving it. So we create the duality by our perception, but ultimately everywhere is Krishna. And the moving, and that's the Mahabhagavat. He sees that this is all the energy of Krishna, and behind the energy he sees Krishna, because it's all coming from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhava matasvam paparadite tima mantvava janti mam buddhava samangita. That Krishna is the source of everything. everything emanates from Krishna. The wise who know this perfectly worship with all their hearts. So they don't see duality, they see Krishna everywhere. No friends, no enemies, only everyone's bhakta, bhakta dog, bhakta dog, bhakta squirrel. No friends, no enemies, they're just all jivas everywhere, consciousness everywhere. Ultimately everything is conscious, and consciousness is jivas. It's like the Brahmajyoti is made of unlimited jivas. The jyoti of Mahavishnu, the jivas floating in the jyoti of Mahavishnu, they are the ones that either go from the jyoti of Mahavishnu to the spiritual world, become nitya siddha, or they come to this world, become nitya bada. But they're all just particles of its jyoti, Brahmajyoti, the effulgence from Mahavishnu, Karandaksha Vishnu, the cause. A causal God lying on the causal ocean, glances at Pradhana Prakriti, and the jivas expand from his effulgence via his glance, and they enter into material energy. And then they have this consciousness, they have this forgetfulness. You know, they become disassociated with Vishnu, have some forgetfulness, have some other looking nature. Krishna Bahirmukh, they look outward. One side is Pradhan, and the other side is the spiritual world. So living entities in the jyoti of Vishnu, they expand, and some glance towards the Maya Shakti, and they go there, they get impregnated there. And some glance towards the Yoga Maya, you know, the Yoga Maya Shakti, spiritual energy, and then they go there and get a suitable body to express their primordial tendency or potential to serve God. Jivara Sarupaya Krishna Nityadas. But the souls that glance towards the Maya Shakti, that primordial desire to serve Krishna, Jiva Sarup, Krishna Sarup, Krishna Das Sarup, comes covered by the material energy, which is symptomized by forgetfulness and separation. So that's the Nityabhada, eternally conditioned. And so part of the conditions are duality. We see the duality. But liberated soul doesn't see duality. Or Mukta Jeev, he doesn't see the duality. So this is what this verse is saying. Although duality of the material world does not ultimately exist, the conditioned soul experiences it, conditioned soul, as real under the influence of his own conditional intelligence. This imaginary experience of a world separate from Krishna can be compared to the acts of dreaming and desiring. When the conditioned soul dreams at night of something desirable and horrible, and when he daydreams of what he would like to have or avoid, he creates a reality that has no existence beyond his own imagination. The tendency of the mind is to accept and reject various activities based on sense gratification. Therefore, an intelligent person should control the mind, restricting it from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna. And when the mind is thus controlled, he'll experience actual fearlessness. Here, everything is conscious also. Consciousness means conscious. But everything is consciousness, but it's covered. It's in a covered state. They say the soul is covered. Avarantika and two potency of Maya, the covering potency and the throwing potency. So the soul is covered by this material body, this material energy. So it's a matter of how much covered the soul is. There's souls in rock. There's so much rocks here. So much rocks. So there's souls inside the rocks, but they're covered. As I said, they're in Shantaras. They're passive. There's no action being seen there. But if you go into a subatomic examination of the atoms and elements, there's movement. And they say when they discuss in biology, one of the symptoms of living entity is movement. Movement, growth, reproduction, etc. So they're showing some aspect of life. Life means consciousness. So even a rock is conscious, is alive. The jivas in the rock. But they're so far removed from the plane of spirit that their consciousness is practically so covered by the material energy, it's practically imperceptible. Because the movement of a rock cannot be perceived except on the atomic level. And movement's going on there also. This is the actual fact. Because if the Creator is a Supreme Consciousness, how can something coming from Supreme Consciousness not have consciousness? And as the Supreme is infinite, everything that comes from the Supreme must also be infinite. So we're minute infinity, and He's unlimited infinity. We're eternal, Satchitananda. Sarva jiva is Satchitananda, eternal. So the jivas and the... So they're posing in the rock, that's a temporary position. But the eternality of the jiva inside the rock, that's an existential fact of being a jiva. That jiva there is also eternal. And as he spends, you know, he'll move, you know, through different species of life according to his destiny. You know, he has this evolution of consciousness. And all the bodies are there already. And depending on the desire and the consciousness of living entity, he gets a particular position. Karma na devine chayna jantar deho papatiye. The arrangement is karma and the demigods under the auspices of the super soul give the suitable material body for the soul. This is this actual fact that everywhere is consciousness. Material energy is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. The majority of the situation is consciousness. And when a small part of that consciousness becomes covered by what's called the Bahiranga Shakti, the inert energy, then that's called conditional consciousness or conditional position. There's limitation there. You know, souls in the rock's body are limited in the material energy. But when it, in the spiritual world, it's called Chintamani Bhumi. The spiritual world is also made all consciousness, but some consciousness takes the shape of a rock. But the rocks in the spiritual world can move. They can talk, they can fly, they can do anything. There's no limitation because they're spiritual. So when Krishna plays his flute and the rocks start dancing, they start melting in ecstasy, flowing in rivers, moving here and there. They become stunned, they exhibit different symptoms, astasattvic bhavs. When Krishna plays his flute, the water exhibits ecstasy, a sattvic vikar called stambha, and becomes frozen. Well, here the water also freezes when the temperature goes down, it freezes. But that has nothing to do with consciousness, that's just the material covering. Material covering is because the consciousness is covered by the material energy, but there the consciousness is not covered by material energy. The consciousness state. There in the spiritual world, consciousness is appearing as a rock or as a tree. Or as a gopi, that's all pure consciousness. It's all antaranga shakti, pure consciousness, sarup shakti. So now the jiva mixes with sarup shakti, then he gets liberated. The sarup shakti of the Lord contacts the jiva, then elevates him to preman bhav, and gives him a suitable vastu. The suitable, first he gets sarup siddhi, and then he gets vastu siddhi, which is a body of consciousness. Pure consciousness, Jivara Surupaya Krishna Nityadas. That body of consciousness only has one desire, and it's to serve Krishna, to love Krishna. So that's an interesting study, compare a material rock to a spiritual rock. Material rock is also consciousness, but it's covered by a different type of energy. It's covered by Bahiranga Shakti. So Bahiranga Shakti has some different characteristics. It comes and goes. It's manifested, unmanifested. But in the spiritual world, the rock is eternally manifested. And it's made of pure consciousness. It's not covered by Bahiranga Shakti. It's inside and outside is pure consciousness. Sarup Shakti, pure consciousness. These are the existential topics. This is the actual fact. Yeah, because here, even a physicist and quantum mechanics, they understand all these things. Conservation of energy. Everything's always there, it just changes this way, that way. The body is, some elements come together to make the body, and then when the soul leaves the body, the elements come back to the nature. The air merges with the air of the world, the ether merges with the ether. The earth element of the body merges with the earth element, the water merges with the water. It's, you know, it's conservation. Whatever it was, it's manifest in one form. All the energy combines. And then when that combination is no longer workable, then it goes back to where it was. We take so many earth elements, so much calcium, phosphate, and all these things make bones. And then you die, then those bones go back to the elements. And there's water in the body and the blood, the lymph and all these things. Then when you die, that water goes into the earth. Or if you're burned up, then it goes, that water becomes gas. And then the gas comes down as, it becomes hydrogen, and then it comes down as rain. And then again, the water is retrieved. The elements are all just transmuting one way or the other. They're not creating new elements. It's like a big bowl of elements, and you just mix them all up, create different things, and back. Every action is equal, opposite reaction, conservation of energy. Nothing lost. You know, you can't create something out of nothing. Whatever was here, create something, then that use is no longer functional, so then it gets... It's like you take some clay, and then you have some clay, then you fashion a cup out of it, and then a plate, and then you eat from that. Then you don't want. Then you take that clay, and then you put that clay in the earth, and again it becomes clay. And then somebody else comes and makes another thing out of it. So the body is just like some elements, building elements, fashioned by the material energy and the demigods into a certain shape according to our karma. Then when that destiny is finished in this body, the elements go back and the soul goes on. That's the same thing with Mahavishnu. It's happening every moment. Here, but that happens with him every breath. He exhales and all the pradhan and mahatattva and all these ego and everything comes out and takes shape and manifests so many different creations. And then he inhales and it all goes back in unmanifest state within him. Avyakta, 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 avyakta. That's how the material energy is going on. It's always existing, but in different states, manifest and unmanifest. When the spiritual world is always existing, it's always prakash. It's always prakash. It's always manifest in the same state, but it's always changing because it's change of rasa and change of experience. Every moment seems like a new moment. It's not like Krishna breathes out the spiritual world and he breathes it in and it all dissolves. There's no more spiritual world. It's always existing. One's going there, one never returns to this world. Janma karma shame devyam evam yovati tatvata tyaktvam deyam punarjanma naiti mamati sorjana. You don't come to this world of change anymore. No world of duality. This is the world of duality. For us, it's duality. It's not duality from the lower perspective of the conditioned soul, it's a world of duality. From the perspective of Mahavishnu, it's just this lila. It's called Srishti Lila, and it's eternal. Mahavishnu is eternal. This lila is eternal. So there's no duality. Duality means beginning and an end. That's a duality. Beginning and an end. Manifest, non-manifest, that's duality. Not a friend, it's always going on. It's manifest outside his body or inside his body. It's always manifest. For Vishnu, it's always manifest. There's no duality for Vishnu. There's no duality for the liberated soul either. The Vaishnava. No duality for Vishnu, no duality for the Vaishnava. Duality means Krishna, no Krishna. That's duality. The fact is, it's only Krishna. So that's the absolute. No duality here, that's the absolute condition, Krishna. Everywhere consciousness, everywhere jivas, everywhere seva. Here the seva only lasts, the seva goes on, but the bodies change. But there, in the spiritual world, the seva goes on, the bodies never change. It's parsha deha. Nitya Siddhadeha. You stay there forever as associate and servant of the Lord. Maybe you keep changing bodies. Sankalpa and Vikalpa aspect of the mind, accepting and rejecting, is all based on the material body. The material body is an illusion. It's not us. It's not our identity. It's a dream. This is Prabhupada's disciples writing these purports in the 11th canto. And Prabhupada often used the idea, talked about the idea of daydream and night dream. So the daydream is a dream, night dream is a dream. That means 24 hours is a dream. So whatever you do in the dream, it's accepted, it's considered to be illusory and not lasting and not just something you dreamed about. When you're at night, you're in a dream, and even in a dream you're desiring something. And you wake up and say, oh, what funny desires, what funny dream. And a daydream is also a dream. And when you become self-realized, you wake up and say, oh, what a funny life I lived, and what crazy desires I had. So the daydream desires and the daydream actions and the night dream actions and night dream desires are all illusion. They're based on the material body, which is not the jiva, which is not the living entity. This is all dreaming, it's all swapna. So sankalpa and vikalpa, desiring, accepting and rejecting on the basis of the body, whether it's through the period of time period of the daydream, which we call conscious life, or whether it's through the time period of the night dream, which we call unconscious life. It is all duality, and it is all a dream. It's all actually illusion, because it's based on the body. So this the Krishna life. In other words, that's to dream during the day and to dream during the night. You have to forget Krishna. So that's conditional life. The conditioned soul is forgetting. And he's so much forgetful, so much an illusion. He says, yes, I dreamed. Last night I was sleeping, that was a dream, it's false. But it's so much ignorance and conditioning illusion that when he's awake, so-called awake, and moving around with a job and family and school and all these things, he thinks this is very real. The prophet said, this is a daydream. This is also a dream. But no one will accept it. No, this is real. This is real. This is really my wife. This is really my school. This is really my body. I'm really so-and-so. See, look, pinch me. I'm really so-and-so Sharma. This is all a dream. It's all illusion. So dreaming of an identity, of a, dreaming of a world set, you know, if anyone thinks there's a world separate from Krishna, or if anyone thinks there's a world separate from Krishna, or anyone thinks there's action or activity separated from Krishna, or anyone thinks it's possible to desire something separate from Krishna, that's a dream. So that's why he's saying that, to have this idea that there's something separate, to create a world, that's what the material world is, the world separate from Krishna. Or it's a dream world, where the living entity can live out his dream. I am a conqueror, I am a doctor, I am a housewife, I am a teacher, I am this, I am that. This is all dream. This is all dreaming. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Utishta, Utishta Prapyan, Varan Nibodhita. This aphorism. Utishta, Utishta Prapyan, Varan Nibodhita. He says, wake up, wake up. You've acquired this rare human form of life where you can ask the question, Kayami Tapatrai. Who am I, Kayami? Who am I and Tapatrai? Why am I suffering in threefold miseries? These questions can be asked in human form of lives. Utishta, Utishta Jagrata. Prapyan Varun Nibodhita, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Tamasimam Jyotirgama. So come out of the dark, hey, wake up, hey, wake up! Ah, a tiger! Ah, a tiger! Ah, a tiger! Ah. Wake up, wake up! Oh, phew, oh, thank you. Oh, you know, it was terrible. I was dreaming, I went to the zoo. I went to the zoo in Delhi. I was with my wife, and we were looking at these tigers. They had like a tiger preserve, and all of a sudden, the tiger just jumped over the fence. He started chasing me. And just me and my kids, they all ran away somewhere, and my wife went with the kids, and the tiger was chasing me right in the zoo in Delhi, and people were running out of the way. He said, well, tiger, tiger, and he had his eyes fixed on me. Oh, he's about to eat me. Oh, you saved my life. Yeah, oh, thank you. Oh, that's just a dream. So then somebody comes along, some devotee comes along and gives a Bhagavad Gita class to this guy. You know, some of his grandfather dies, and they invite some devotees to come and do kirtan and speak on Bhagavad Gita. So the devotee starts speaking on Bhagavad Gita, and he's attending that function of his grandfather's death. And somebody invited some ISKCON devotees to come and give a lecture. So the devotee gives a lecture, you're not this body, this you think somebody wakes you up from a dream that you're dreaming of a tiger. Hey, wait a minute, how's he know that I was doing that? Yeah, and then you think you're very thankful. So we're also, this daydream, we're also dreaming. We think I'm Mr. Jones, this is my family, it's all hamamati, hamtwa and mamtwa. Ahamtwa mamtwa. I am this and this is mine. I am mine. This is my body and everything around it is my possession. It's my house, my wife, my car, my school, my books, my cell phone, my computer. It's all illusion. This is ephemeral. This is foolishness. This is also a dream. We should be slapped. We're all in amnesia. We've forgotten our identity. We've forgotten our spiritual identity. We've forgotten our relationship. We have a relationship with God that we've never actually uncovered. We have to uncover that and develop that love for God. We're loving all these stupid things and getting frustration, anxiety, and disappointment in return. We should wake up. Everyone in this room is also sleeping. So our Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang a great song. Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jao Maya Pisa Chira Kole. Hey, conditioned souls, wake up! You're sleeping also in the day. 9 to 5, you're not working, you're sleeping, you're dreaming. 9 a.m., 10 a.m. in the work, you go to work, and you come home at 8 o'clock, you're dreaming, you're sleeping, you're stupid, you're an illusion. Wake up! You're not the body, you're Krishna's eternal servant. Take up some service, realize your relationship, develop love for Krishna. Experience who you really are. Oh, thank you. Oh, devotee, thank you. I was suffering for so long with this dream. I thought this dream would never end. God, it would turn into a terrible nightmare. Oh my God, it was a terrible nightmare. I had a wife, and I had two kids, and a house, and bills, and a job, and in-laws, and so many social responsibilities, and so much relative program. And oh God, thank you. You woke me up. Thank you. Oh, now I realize I'm Krishna's eternal servant. And all I have to do is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and hear and chant and go back to Godhead. Jai, thank you. Hare Krishna. So then the whole dream of the material world is over. No more dreaming. No more daydream, no more night dream. The dream. This is the dream. They say that this whole creation is like a dream of Mahavishnu also. He's sleeping. You know, Mahavishnu is sleeping in Yoga Nidra. He's in Yoga Nidra with Lakshmi Devi. And Ananta Shesh, he's on his waterbed. As Ananta Shesh, he's lying there very comfortably in Karna Samudra. And he's just and then he exhales, the whole material creation comes into existence. When he inhales, it's all finished. And that takes like billions and zillions of years. So it's just one breath during his night, during his dream. So this whole material world is a dream of Mahavishnu. So it's a dream and a dream and a dream. Inside Mahavishnu's dream is a dream of the material world. Inside the dream of the material world are all the dreamers. Everyone's a dreamer. Sometimes they tell you when you're young, oh, you're a dreamer. You're always sitting around daydreaming. Oh yes, if I ever get $1 million, you know, if I become the Prime Minister of India, I'll stop animal slaughter, I'll make sure everyone becomes a vegetarian, and I'll stop all poverty and all cheating, and I'll make good roads, and I'll give free medical care for everyone, and I'll do all these good things. We're daydreaming. And so this is what we dream like, and the teacher said, what are you dreaming about? Oh, and that's nothing, it's just something I was thinking about in the future. What do you mean? Tell me. No, I was just dreaming if I ever become the Prime Minister. Prime Minister? You're only 10 years old. I know, but I'm dreaming like this. Okay, well, what were you thinking? What would you do? And then you like this. So people, they live their dreams, they share their dreams, they discuss their dreams, but when it's all said and done, it's nothing but a dream. Swapna vilas. Maya swapna vilas. It's just a vilas. It's a pastime, dreaming pastime, all in the context of illusion, controlled by Maya. Jeev Jago. Gora Chandra Bole Kota Nidra Jao Maya Pishachira Kole. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The point is, the Mayavadis, you know, the Mayavadis say that everything's one, but they say that Krishna's pastimes, that's illusion. They say that sometimes Brahman, which is the absolute reality, Brahman Satya Jagan Mitya. So this Jagan, this material world, and everything in this material is false. So Krishna's Leela in this material world is also false. And it's just that the actual ultimate truth behind everything, the undivided truth, the Advaita Gyan, is that everything is Brahman. And sometimes maybe Brahman takes, you know, accepts some duality and functions in a false way in this material world and shows some kind of Leela. That's sometimes how they interpret it. But what this purport is saying, 11th canto, is that they're not seeing the actual oneness. They're seeing a distinction. They think that Brahman is spiritual and Krishna's lila is material. They think it's lokic lila, that this is not transcendental, this is not spiritual. But the purport, the God brothers are saying in their 11th canto, that their vision of oneness is not quite perfect. And if they have really Advaita Gyan, the Advaita Gyan understand that Krishna is the supreme Parabrahman. He's the source of Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti, and the source of all living entities. And when he has lila in this world, it's also totally transcendental. It's totally spiritual. It has nothing to do with the contact of the modes of nature. It's play of his Sarup Shakti under the influence of Yoga Maya. So they can't see this. They think this is all. They say Krishna's lila is Maya. Krishna's lila is Maya. It's illusion. It's temporary. It's part of this world. It's just make believe. It's nothing to do with Brahman. It's nothing to do with transcendence. So they're seeing duality there. So they're saying Brahman is real and this is false. So that's a duality, which is interesting, because they're supposed to see everything as one. It's all one, but there's one and different. But that's our philosophy. Simultaneously one and different. So they say that this world is false, and Krishna's lila, which goes on in this world, is also false. And that's their limitation, that their understanding of Advaita Gyan is imperfect, because they can't accommodate the Advaita Gyan, or the unlimited transcendental aspect of Krishna's lila. How is it possible the infinity can move amongst mortals or act in the finite plane? How is it possible for infinity to move in the finite plane of the material world? Because they can't understand the transcendental nature of the Holy Dham. The Holy Dham is in the material world, but not of it. It's never contacting the material world. It's totally Brahman. This Holy Dham of the Lord and all his activities here are totally transcendental, alokic lila. And that's their ignorance. They can't accommodate or accept this understanding of the unlimited nature of Brahman, that Brahman can also have qualities. They say, oh, it's impossible for Brahman to have qualities because it's not one. There's qualities and there's Brahman. So that's why they say, nirvishesh Brahm, nirvishesh. No vishesh, no qualities, no distinction, no difference. We say savishesh, nirvishesh savishesh, savishesh Brahma. Brahma with qualities, with vishesh, savishesh, with distinction, with speciality, with qualities. But those qualities are also Brahman, because they're transcendental. They say that Brahman is nirgun and nirakar, nirgun and nirakar and arup. There's no form, no qualities, and there's no nirakar, no action, because they don't understand what is transcendental. They don't understand transcendental qualities. Vishuddha sattva-gun, they don't understand that. If everything is three gunas, and beyond the three gunas is Brahman. And they can't accommodate that Brahman also has qualities, but the qualities are also Brahman, transcendental qualities. And he has a transcendental form. And form means there's something of this world. And Brahman is formless. Brahman is formless. There's no form, otherwise it's not Brahman. So how can it be Brahman have form? Then it's not Brahman, because Brahman is formless. They say, no, his form is transcendental. So they say Brahman is nirgun, nirupan, nirakar. When we say akar, we say it's transcendental form. Sachinanda vigraha. Hare Krishna.